saw my need. Aren't you glad that he did? I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. For to view that old rugged cross where Jesus died for me. Aren't you so glad about it? See you one more time. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. For to view the cross where Jesus died. Well, aren't you glad that he did that for you? Now, the least we can do in return to him is live for him every day of our life with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. Are you willing to do that? He died for you. He paid a debt he didn't know. You owed a debt you could not pay. So it met in the middle and he gave his life. Therefore, we received eternal life. Are you glad about it today? Look at somebody and say, I'm tickled to death. Tell them with all your heart, I'm really happy. Shake their hand while you're looking at them. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Place some more of that in your will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What, are you glad to be in the house of God this morning? Camp meeting once again. Just look at somebody and say, you might not have known it, but you're at camp meeting. You are at camp meeting. We're going to have church here this morning. Did you enjoy the word of the Lord here last night? Was the word of God precious? Amen. Had some wonderful, wonderful singing. A lot of visitors here. And we're just overwhelmed by your being here again this morning. Wherever you're from, God bless you. We're glad to have you in the service. Give our visitors a nice hand today. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you, just if you will just remain standing while we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, just a very few requests. Brother Pinky, Sister Phyllis, Brother Bill, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests this morning. We have a very special unspoken request we would like for the church to pray about. We just want to commit that unto the Lord. Ask God to be mindful of their situation. Brother Carter Lawson says, I have an urgent prayer request for a friend of mine. God knows all about the need, whatever it would be. We just commit them unto the Lord. Brother Baker offers this testimony. I want to thank the Lord for healing me of a bad leg and a foot a few services ago. Thanks be to God. We just thank the Lord for that testimony. Also, we want to remember the folks in West Virginia. There's been about 23, something like that, between 20 and 25 deaths because of the flooding. So let's pray for those folks in that part of the country that the Lord would just be mindful of them. I want to pray for Brother Amos Cutts. He's in Manitoba, Canada, for a week. Please pray for a good meeting and safe travel. We'd commit that to the Lord this morning. I want to pray for the granddaughter-in-law of Sister Barbara Grabley. Her name is Jessica. And remember her in prayer. Also her baby. She's having difficulty breathing. Also remember Sister Barbara and her husband, Brother Burt Grabley. So we want to pray for those needs today. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in, asking the church to keep us in prayer. We have court on Tuesday. Please pray that the case will be dismissed and thrown out. Also continue to keep my family in prayer. My wife also in prayer. God knows all about the situation. God bless you, Brother Moyer. So we just commit that unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, you have a need you'd like for this group to pray about. God's able, isn't he? Somebody say, God is able. Give him one more hand clap of praise, Brother Bill. Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, buddy.
Have you ever had someone in your family, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mother, your dad, do something or some things for you, and you just were overwhelmed? What a blessing, what an honor. You just couldn't express your gratitude. That's the way I feel about the Lord. I just can't find the words, the attitude to thank him. Every time I turn around, I just see more and more and more that he does, and I feel so unaware. So I just want to say that publicly this morning before we go to prayer, how much I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ and what he does for us. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, my heart is full of gratitude because the little bit that I do recognize of what you do, I'm aware that it's a fraction of all the things you take care of in our lives. And every time anything negative crosses my lips, Lord, I feel this pull to walk away and thank you for the good and forget the bad because you are so incredibly good to us. We live in a world of people that don't understand the grace of Almighty God, that don't understand your blessings poured out on us day by day, minute by minute, Lord. And so I want to thank you with all of my heart. And Lord, you're no stranger to these needs, the way people have asked for you to look down upon them or to change something in their lives. You have a heart that's more in tune with their needs than we could ever be. So, Lord, we ask you to look at each heart today, the heart that you put inside them to want something from you, to worship you, and to look to you in time of need. And we ask you to take that heart and meet it with yours and bring about the answer that you want in their lives, Lord. Each one of these, for the people who've lost loved ones in Virginia, I know what that feels like, Lord, and there's just no way to describe it. And the only person that can be there for you all the time is you, Lord. So go to those people and touch them, I pray, for each and every other need this morning and everyone who raised their hands and everyone around the world who has looked to this day and said, God, would you touch me today? I just ask that in some way we'll walk away from this service today saying, God touched me today, and I am so grateful. So we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This time we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. And I mentioned it just a few minutes ago. Let me say it again. All of our visitors, God bless you. We're so glad to have each and every one of you in the service today. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's see if we can sing this song this morning. Just listen to it at home just a little while ago. And we know he's coming back. And we know we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Is that right? Look at somebody and say, wake up. Now you're here to have church this morning. You're here to have church. You think you're going to stand there and look at me? You're not going to do that. You're going to help me sing. Is that right? You're here to worship. Say, I'm here to worship. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. If you don't want to miss the Lord's appearing on that morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, then make your preparation, secure your soul's salvation, and keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Oh, see those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again, see those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the saints in. That morning when our body change begins, sing that chorus again. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again, see those clouds. Twinkling of an eye, it'll all be over. Then, my friend, it's gonna be too late to pray. Be sure the time is nearing, the hour of his appearing, when the bridegroom gonna catch his bride away. See those clouds, they're the ones he's coming back in. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again, see those clouds, they're the ones we'll join the same. Sing that second verse one more time. In the twinkling of an eye, it's gonna all be over. So my friends, don't wait too late to pray. Just be sure the time is nearing, the hour of his appearing, when the bridegroom, he comes to catch his bride away. See those clouds. From the east, when Christ returns to earth again. on that morning when our body change begins. On that morning when our body change begins. See those clouds. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of this old song. I'm rich, faith and hope and love. We ought to be rich in that. We sure ain't rich in money, worldly goods, but I'd rather be rich in the other things, wouldn't you? Amen. Let's see if we can do that. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing I'm his son. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm a guardian angel watching over me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father up in heaven above, I breathe a simple prayer. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. He has cleansed and forgiven me of all of my sin. He took me in. He's filling me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to a mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We're going to have a couple of songs. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, ever how you have that put together this morning, if y'all will come on. Sister Tamika Brown, if you'll come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing. Let's give those folks a nice hand this morning as they get ready to sing for us. Appreciate them being here. Good folks, good singers. Amen.
Say I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so cruel. But I remember where I came from and what you put me through. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
to Jesus, the time of my life. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
Oh, now you may be feeling so sad and blue, and you may not be knowing just exactly what to do. Oh, but won't you turn to my Jesus, 'cause he will make you brand new. Tell him it's over. You tell the devil we're through. You've had your chance to make something out of my life. And you turn me to shame.
Pray for me. I was just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. Before the calls of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what he have me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize his grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face as darkness tried to steal my heart. sent his son to save us. From the cross he built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts, there is still a war that rages. It makes the sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said no.
Grateful we are today that mercy said no. Where would we be if we got what we deserved? Aren't you glad mercy reached beyond what we deserved and our capabilities and all of that? Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. We greet each of you today. Several visitors with us today. We just trust the Lord will bless your visiting with us in our gates. Something will be said that'll encourage you, help you along the way, make life a little bit easier for you. Luke chapter 15, verse 31. Jesus chose to convey in this Luke chapter 15 part of the mystery of redemption that was not spoken anywhere else in the New Testament, of foreknowledge and election and redemption or reconciliation back to the purpose of God. And in this one, he conveys it with these three parables. They all, of course, tie together to convey the same story. And the prodigal son has returned, and now the older brother is being dealt with. In verse 31, and he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. It seems as if though the trouble of this parable, once it comes to the very close, is when the family issues really start showing their heads. The older brother's true character isn't revealed until the reconciliation or the saving, as we would say, of the younger one, which is the way you and I are. Our flesh can be so religious. Our flesh can love to go to church. Our flesh can love God. We can love and even love God and still be a devil, as far as from our soul we know. And this is the way Jesus conveys it. He leaves the end of the story untold, because each of you will tell it. in your own life, of how your older brother and your younger brother will get along in the family. I want my story to end this way, that my younger brother was able to lead my older brother to a complete body change.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, we are so thankful for your grace and mercy to us, as we just heard it so beautifully saying, mercy said no. I pray the extent of that would become more real to our hearts as we look at what a great love that you had for us. We've heard it, many of us, since we were children, how that you came to the earth and what you went through. But I'm sure we probably don't understand 0.01% of what the condescension of our God was. But may you help us today, Lord, as we look into your word. We desire to be better people when we leave here. We've not gathered here today because it's, well, just something we do on Sunday morning that we go to church. We want something of eternal value that we can take with us when we leave today. I realize if that is so, it'll take you to do it. Lord, even though I've been preaching for about over 40 years now, I still don't know how. And I pray I never learn how. I pray I always am dependent upon you. So to be honest with you, sir, I've studied. I've looked at these things. And I've tried to print them out and put the quotes and scriptures and things together. But I'm depending upon you totally, that you would help us. You're the only one who can custom fit a sermon of this visible audience and the invisible, which touches around the world today, to be able to meet our needs. Help us. Father, you see I have in my hand this prayer cloth. Lord, you know the need of this sister, these physical things that she's dealing with, and we're just asking you for a complete, perfect deliverance. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let us re-enter the garden momentarily. We will turn from the west and go east. The gates have been closed and the cherubims of fire have been placed on the outside. The new altar has been now established. It's nothing like what was on the inside. But that we might reminisce for just a moment and get a little bit clear of understanding of what happened. We see as we turn and from the west head back, we see a man and a woman in complete perfection. Her blonde hair, her blue eyes, the man with his long, shaggy type of hair hanging down. In the state of complete perfection with no faults, no failures. All the trees are beautiful, the flowers, the fruits are such a way that we've never known them as mortals. The dinosaurs are walking through the paradise of God. And the great birds are flying from tree to tree and taking their turn as they would land on the shoulder of Adam. And they would land there and begin to coo to him.
Amen.
Everything is in perfect harmony. Yet God, in his sovereignty, knew that this would only be for a period of time. God hallowed and blessed the seventh day, for it was in the seventh day that God had rested, for God ceased from all his labors wherewith he had labored. So it was in God's millennium that the man fell away from the word. In the seventh day, which God had sanctified and hallowed for the time of rest, and he places man, of course, on the sixth day of creation, and he lets man enter into his millennium with him. Here's a man now has charge of the earth. He has charge of the Garden of Eden. Eden is a state. The Garden of Eden is its headquarters in the eastern end in the land of Egypt. And the man is over everything. He's to dress it, to keep it, a charge by which Almighty God had given him to watch over it, not to make the seeds, not to plant the seeds, simply to care and watch over what God has already done. But we know the man is alone within himself, and God knew, of course, that it would arrive to this stage, and God never made the woman in the original creation, so he looks at everything that he's made and said it's not good that the man should be alone. A deep sleep from the Lord falls upon the man, and God takes him to surgery. God goes in and he opens the side of Adam and he pulls out a rib. Then God lays the rib, as we'd say, over on the table, blood dripping from it. He lays it upon the table and God begins to form or shape a body around that rib. Then God goes into the second realm of man, which is man's spirit. And he divides the characteristics which are created in the man in harmony and unison. And he divides the sensitivity part, the feminine part, the gentle part. And he pulls that away from the man and places it now over inside this body. God begins to complete this female body. And her eyes pop open. And as they do, she sets up on the table, as it were, and God now allows her to come over to be the nurse to his son. And as she comes over and walks near where the man is now laying on the operating table, if I can say it that way, where you can relate to it, God chose to leave the man still under the anesthesia. And as the man now begins to open his eyes and maybe flutter his eyes back and forth, and he begins to twitch somewhat, as most of us do when we come out from under anesthesia. And he feels a hand that he did not feel when he was laying on the table initially. He hears a voice that he had not heard before. And his eyes begin to come open and his consciousness is regained. And he looks there and he sees this most beautiful creature that he had ever seen in all of his existence. We don't know for sure how long it was that he lived, whether it was hundreds of years or thousands of years. But yet here he comes and something so strikes his being. As she's standing there, maybe with her hand into his, and she begins to rub his arm, and she begins to speak soothing words to him. And his eyes come open, and he looks at her, and he realizes what God has done. And something strikes him as he moves and reaches over, and he knows what the Lord God has performed. And he speaks to her in the Hebrew language and says, "You are Ish, for you were Ishai, rather, because you were taken out of Ish, man and woman." And their first day on earth must have been a getting to know each other type of day. And Adam taking her around and showing her his kingdom. Forgive me. What that first day must have been like as he took her around, as they traveled from one end of the garden to the other. And she was in awe of the strength, the power, and the position of her husband. "You mean all of this is yours?" "Well, it was all mine. Now it's all ours." So God has entrusted all this to you. When do I get to see him? Well, you see, sweetheart, it's his custom. He's done it ever since he brought me from the dust of the earth. Every evening we have church in the cathedral. In the great trees, as a matter of fact, we need to head that way now. Because I know him, he's never late for church. I think we should go ahead and head that way now toward the very eastern side of headquarters. I know he's going to be so thrilled to see how we've enjoyed our stay, our first day on earth. I can see them as they hurriedly pick up their pace. And he knows by the setting of the sun and the revival of the birds Those of you brothers that have been out hunting, or maybe those of you that have just been in the woods and you're not a hunter, you know that there's two great revivals in the day of birds, and that is the morning and in the evening. Right before the sun begins to break, you'll hear them. And they'll start, and they'll go for an hour, hour and a half after the sun rises, and then it kind of dissipates and they quieten down to the middle of the day. And occasionally you'll hear a Luther or a Wesley or a Pentecost as they'll fly through and sing. And then at the end of the day, the evening, it's like the revival starts again. And the birds start singing and chirping because they know the evening time is here. Glory! So you imagine all the signs were there. The shadows were getting long, and the great beautiful trees and the dinosaurs and the birds were moving around, and they knew it was time to go to church. I'm going to tell you, friend, for those of you that church is not this focal part of your life, I don't understand why you want to go to heaven. Heaven is a continuing of this same life without sin. In the Garden of Eden, it was not all about work. It was not all about money. It was not all about fame and social standing. It was all about the place God had given them. And when we come back to this earth in the eighth day, that's exactly what it's going to be about again. Don't you understand what He's doing now? He is preparing us for our Father's house. Imagine as they came into the pews and they was gathered there, and the dinosaurs and the birds and all were around. And all of a sudden, this still voice and the wind began to whoosh. And Adam took her by the hand and said, "That's Him. Where is He? Just give Him a minute. He always does this. He loves for me to build this anticipation. So He lets me hear Him before I see Him. What should I do, Adam? Just start loving Him. Just start praising Him." Oh, it sounds like a right way to approach God to me. And then all of a sudden, this awesome presence filled it. And she said, "I feel Him. That's Him. That's Him." They couldn't be afraid, of course, but they were so overwhelmed. And then His voice began to say, "My children, have you enjoyed your stay on earth today? Papa has come down to kiss you goodnight." Oh yes, Papa, it was our first day together. Just the beginning of many. It was so wonderful. I was just taking her through and showing her just what you know. We just got a little bit of it covered. And we were just eating together. We had lunch together. And it was so wonderful. Well, they said, "I've come down to kiss you goodnight." So after church, they may have had a little fruit snack. God fellowship with them a little. And He said, "Now don't you think it's bedtime?" So He takes Adam over. And He lays him down in the cathedral. He said, "Now Adam, lay your arm out." And Adam lays his arm out like this. He said, "Now Eve, what I want you to do is lay your head right here." So Eve walks over, lays down, her blonde hair draped over his arm, just laying right here by him, near the side where she was taken out. And then Father reaches over. "Good night, Eve. Good night, Adam. Sweet dreams." Oh, God. Oh, God. I'll see you all tomorrow. Amen. Then God steps out of the bedroom. And the angels hover around. And they can watch him. And it is beaming off of his being. They were there when he made the earth. They were there when he expanded his creation. They saw how he reacted. But they had never seen him react this way before. It might have been Gabriel. It might have been one of the other angels who said, "Father, I just noticed something. He looks just like you." Well, thank you. That's my boy. His eyes. I just now noticed it. His eyes, the way they look, they're just like yours. And the way his mouth turns over to one side and the curvature in his nose, it's just like you. And she is in a similar image like him. Wow, I just now noticed that. But Almighty God knew. Maybe another night and another, maybe a week of nights. Might have went on a millennium, who knows? But God knew one night he would come in and kiss them goodnight for the last time. Now as we leave the garden and we come onto the outside, and I see a man and a woman whose diet now has changed from the fruits of the paradise of the garden of God. They are now eating herbs, the roughage of the earth. Animal food, actually. They never ate herbs in the Garden of Eden. But as the fall lowers their status, their diet also changes. Now I see this man and woman as he's sweating and perspiring. By this stage, it's been a few years now since they've been out. They long ago had laid aside the skins that God gave them. She began to understand the ability of weaving, taking materials and putting it together and making fabric. And now she had made them some clothes. The skins that God had made them now would also age. The hair would fall out. Even though the leather would be tanned, it would soil. And that have to be replaced. This man's stature, which at one time walked in the presence of God, now he's begun to stoop over a little. He's 450 years old, we'll say. Wrinkles have started to come into his face. Her beautiful blue eyes have now become deeper set. He takes her by the hand in the evening. The fellowship isn't quite the same as it was before, even between them. They're arguing now and fussing, and they have such differences where before everything was so perfect. They argue over this and argue over that. He looks at her and she's not as beautiful as she was. She looks at him and he's stoop-shouldered. His hands are wrinkled. Not only that, but he's got a scar over here where he'd injured himself plowing. And he's got another one over here where the mule or the horse, whatever more, had kicked him. And he's all scarred up. They're laboring and sweating. The sun has tanned both of them because now the exposure and the radiation is now changing their image. God looks at them. He must feel such a loneliness. Something in his heart. But he remembers the promise. I will bring you back to this garden. Let us now move from that setting to another. We'll pick it up in Romans chapter 8 verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is not speaking about your soul, but your body. Adam was not only a son of God in his soul. He was a son of God in his flesh. Don't you know there's something in the real children of God who long for sonship in your flesh? You may think I'm nuts. I long for the day when I can see him and touch him and him touch me. My soul don't need that, but my body does. Why? Because Adam was this type of a son in the Garden of Eden. But remember, the sovereign God who hath subjected the same in hope will not leave it in that fallen condition. But he purposed within himself that through the fall, he would allow sin to be so judged. And we know we've looked at it before in Genesis chapter 1 when we see where in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we go into the stages of the earth, and then we jump on over a little farther and we see the condition of the earth in a chaotic state, which we know that the earth at that stage was not in its original creation. But something happened to the earth. Something happened to the earth as it stood there. And whenever Moses sees it, we know, oh my, it's without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God began to speak and say, let there be. So we know that the earth had been through some type of cataclysmic change. Something had moved upon the earth. Was it the fall of angels? Was it when the Son of the Morning first lost his position in heaven? Who knows exactly what it was? But we know that God is going to allow sin to be judged and totally annihilated. It must not just be judged in angels, but it must be judged in the realm of mortals. It must be judged in the realm of mortality. Sin cannot just stay on the heavens, but the sin must be allowed to come to the attribute which is called the earth. And in the earth, sin will be judged. This is why Jesus had to die in the earth. He could not die in heaven. He had to come to the earth and subject himself as a creature of the earth in the realm of mortality, that he might pull the very completeness of death into his mortal body and destroy death from the realm of mortality. Oh my, notice Paul goes on to say, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now we know the earth in this state that we're looking at in the Garden of Eden stood upright on its axis. We know there was no North Pole, South Pole in the sense of the way we know it now. In the perfect state, the earth was covered with a vegetation where the climate and the temperature was all the same. There was not four seasons. But God made in the earth the capability of being able to stand up pre-fall and post-fall, so that when the earth tilted 22.5 degrees, it would still be able to live. The plants, animals, and so on would live on the earth after the fall. But yet it subjected the entire creation to what Adam did. And we are here today, sitting here as human beings in this realm of mortality. We are not bearing so much the image of God in the fullness in our bodies. But yet potentially it is there. And when God allowed the earth to do this, in all of creation, Mars never fell. Saturn never fell. The universe never failed. Only the attribute that man's body was taken from. The earth, how am I? The earth fell because of her identity with man. Oh, glory. But the earth will be restored because of her identity with man. All creation. All creation, my, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have received, notice this, the first fruits, not first herbs. There are no herbs of the Spirit, but there are fruits. Don't you see your soul? Your soul has already started eating the fruit of paradise. Your soul is already turned. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not sitting here today feeding on the herbs of the word. There is no such a thing. The fruit bearing witness in our life of the Spirit, it shows our soul has already crossed into paradise. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, meekness, temperance, all these things. What is that? It's not us doing it. God has baptized us into the mystical Eden. Eden means pleasure or paradise. Thank you, Lord. Oh my, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we groan. We ourselves groan within ourselves. Why would anybody with the Holy Ghost groan? This is the last phase that's so important. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now you know how we are as humans. When we're a certain age as children, we can't wait till we get a certain age. Erica's two oldest girls, Emma and Ellie, you know, they're going to have a birthday here in a little bit, and they are already counting down the years to where they'll be old enough to be able to go to the banquet. I mean, they got 3 or 4 years yet to go, but they was talking about it this week because those of you that were able to attend, and they were longing when they get old enough to go to the banquet. And you know how it is. You long to be able to do this. And then when you reach this age where you can get your driver's license and you can get your age to do this, and you want to come up to a certain spot. Was that the way most of us were? And then, though, once we reach a certain spot, then we wish we hadn't wished away that many years of our life. We wish we'd just let it creep along, and then you get to a spot to where it's like, please slow down. I'm not ready for this. Carol and I, the Lord will, in a few weeks, will turn 60 years old. You imagine the Ancient of Days, 60 years old. I feel like I should be in retirement somewhere in a rocking chair in an old nursing home or something like that. You never thought you'd ever get that age, you know, to where that you are. My, it's just hard to embrace it. But you know there's something you want it to slow down. The older you get, the faster it goes. Summer will be gone before we know it. Winter will be here and another year gone and another year gone. It seems like the older we get, the faster that it goes. Is this true, you old people? And you get to where you want to enjoy every day. You don't want to wish any of them away, whether it's rain, shine, or whatever more. Why is that? Because there's something in our body that's eating the fruits of Eden. But our body itself is still eating the herbage of the earth and under the curse of it. Oh my. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And this expression denotes strong internal desire, passion, pulling for help. A strong internal desire. Any of y'all here love arthritis? Those of you that's got it, are you so grateful to God that you finally got your own case of arthritis? What about those of you sisters that's starting to get gray here? I'm not looking in any direction. I look this way so you won't think I'm talking about any of you. Or you get gray here or gray back here. You brothers that start turning right there or the other way, it turns totally loose. And then you have to have false teeth and you have to have this and that and the other replaced. Did you all want that? Would you rather have polygrip or whatever that stuff is called, or would you rather have young chompers? Come on now, let's be honest. What is it? We wasn't made to have false teeth. You wasn't made to wear contacts. You wasn't made to wear glasses. You wasn't made to get old. Well, why am I getting old? Because you're cursed with the earth. This. The soul is redeemed first, then the body. What's this?
Again, Paul says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our bodies, when the bodies of the saints will be delivered from mortality. Don't misunderstand me. I want more than a theophany. I'm not a complete being with a theophany. I know there's people in the message that teach when we go into our theophany, there is no resurrection from the dead, but that is false doctrine. It takes three to make to perfection. You've got three here and you'll have three there. What's this? Brother Branham and Christ identified the same. He said, so we're all longing for the day to get out of this place where we're at now, for it's certainly a pest house. We know that, full of sickness and disease and disappointments. Anybody here have disappointments? Oh my Lord. The rest of y'all don't have disappointments? What planet are you from? I mean, I knew he had visitors, but I didn't realize he was from another planet this morning. How many has disappointments? Ah, you're not Martians after all. Disappointment, sickness, and disease. Why? That's part of the curse. Does not the Holy Ghost eliminate that? It does not, and it will not until we're changed. He says, oh my, it's a pest house. Know that full of sickness, disease, and disappointments, and troubles. And my, who would want to stay here when there is such a better place to go? Notice him now, he's praying for the sick people and God of this evil age. I pray you'll heal them, Lord. But for the greatest of all healing, if you heal their physical body from cancer, TB, pneumonia, something, they'll get sick again, no doubt, if they live very long. For their body is still under sin, the curse.
And yet we worship this thing. Many of us love our bodies more than we love God. That's why some women around the message can't quit cutting their hair and can't keep the mini dresses off and the makeup off, because they love that flesh. And the appearance of that flesh so much means more than the Word of God, which separates them from the things of the world. And they love that aging curse. You're doing the worst thing you could do, because you're letting your older brother lead the younger. You're letting this flesh lead your soul. You better reverse it and quick if you want to get out of here in a rapture. Oh my. Notice this. He says, if they'll get sick again, no doubt, if they live very long, for their body is still under sin, the curse, but let them get the real divine healing. Listen to the real divine healing. The healing of the soul, which makes a new creature, passes from death unto life, and then waiting in this old tabernacle for the redemption of the body after the soul has been redeemed. Now, Brother Branham preaches to me one of the greatest sermons of his entire life in Things That Are To Be, Rialto, California. It was not in a message church, actually, but a Pentecostal church. The things that were spoken in that service, oh my, phenomenal. Listen to this. Now we found this life holds all kinds of evils. So therefore the life that is to come won't have it. This one has lust, sickness, death. Because what is it? It's not the house that he's gone to prepare. This is a pest house. Now this is not a term that we use very much in this day. It originated in the 1500s, actually. It was a word that they used to define where they would take the sick, the disease. Many times if they diagnosed them and even knew what they had, they would want to keep them from the rest of the populace. So they would designate a place and there they would put them. Sometimes they would mix them all together and they'd have people there that were diagnosed with this, this, and this. Or if they didn't know exactly what they'd had, they'd go ahead and put them in the pest house as well. So it was where they gathered all of these people that were known to have this contagion in their bodies, because they wanted to try to keep it from breaking out in the rest of the populace. So they would bring them there and confine them to live in that house. Now they were very watchful of the
pest house. So if you would come near the pest house, your father, your mother, your aunt, your uncle was in there, they would have guards on the outside, and they would prohibit you from going in, because they did not want you to become sick or you to be a carrier of all the diseases and all the things that was on the inside of this pest house. Now the prophet likens our mortal bodies to this pest house. Now the next time after church today you go in the mirror and comb that pretty hair of yours and you smile and think how beautiful you are or how handsome you men are, just be reminded it is full of one disease after another. It's under the curse, praise the Lord. You've got thorns and thistles and brambles and briars and faults and failures and shortcomings all wrapped up in that pest house. So hug it real good, will you? And be reminded, my, this flesh needs to be changed. Oh my, notice this, a pest house is where they put all the diseased people. Well, that's just what sin done to us, put us in an earthly pest house. In your body today may be running part of the DNA that come from your mother and father. In your potentials of your DNA, when you'll reach 45, 50 years old, 60, whenever it is, you've had a good, healthy life. All of a sudden, that DNA, which you receive from them, certain genes will start releasing, and it will release cancer cells. Or it will release something about your liver or something about your heart. Been embedded in you all these years. You tried to take care of yourself. You tried to eat right and do right. But all of a sudden your genes release this cell and they start multiplying for the very purpose of trying to destroy your life. You were in the pest house and all this was in you the whole time and you never knew it. You know, this is why now they're trying to approach health care from a perspective of preventative instead of just waiting till you get sick, but have the health scans, do the blood work, do all of this and see what potentials lay before you in your DNA so you can kind of watch what's going on. Well, I can understand that to a degree. I can also understand that could be quite scary. You know, you had the potential to be this and the potential to be that. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't mind at all my spiritual DNA being run, because I know that I have the potential of being one of those who are alive and remain when the Lord comes. So that don't scare me at all. In the other part of my DNA, no doubt there's things in there that I'm carrying this morning that have not kicked in, that they're there under the curse of what Adam did. But the promise is, if I allow the Spirit of God to bring this body under control, if I go by the way of the grave, it will be raised again. Listen to this. He says, they wouldn't let anyone else come in the pest house because there's all kinds of germs flying around in there. And the people will take these germs and be sick themselves. And sin brought us into the devil's pest house. So here's all of humanity. All of humanity in this pest house. But God Himself allowed His own attribute of love to enter into His own personal pest house. The guards would prohibit him from entering yours. But he created himself one. Called sonship, or the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in his body, old age set in. Sickness, disease, troubles, worries. Imagine Jesus feeling stress. Jesus felt fears and frustration. Oh, Brother Donnie, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he feared. Why? He must feel the frustration and the worries and the pain of a pest house. God entered into his own personal creation of a pest house. With headaches and backaches. And wearies and embarrassment Remember when the scripture says about it, and they come up and they humiliate him, and Brother Bram takes that scripture and he says, when they said those words back to Jesus, that it embarrassed Jesus. Jesus felt embarrassed. He felt ashamed. He felt like we feel when people tell lies on us. He humbled himself so much that he would allow himself to say the one word that humans say so much. Why? Why? God don't get angry at you when you say why. It depends on how you say it. You imagine the Lord Jesus allowing himself in this pest out to come to his body and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken? He knew the answer before he asked the question. Why is he saying why? He wants to know how to help me when I say why. You see, there's something that happens to us when we allow why to come out of our mouth. Something has already transpired in the mind. Something has already happened in the human spirit. He wanted to allow this to happen to himself. And when it comes out of his mouth, the word why, the mind has already conceived, the spirit has already given birth, and this feeling rushes over him. Why have you forsaken me? His own personal pest house. Now, I hope you don't think I'm nuts. Well, too far nuts. Sin never brought him into this body. Creation did. Think of it. He chose to come this way. Did you? Would you rather have this type of a body or a glorified one? Really? Would you rather be an old pot-bellied man or a young slender guy with a head full of hair? Praise the Lord. How can I modify that now and say the same thing so the sisters won't get offended? Most of us would do that. Why? There's something in us. Old age is repulsive. But he chose to. Why? Why? In order to redeem all the rest of the people from the pest houses who wanted to be free. Oh my, listen to this. Jesus' body was quickened after it was dead. And in the grave, Jesus' body was quickened by the word of God and transformed. Now you see, this is something that a lot of message people don't comprehend right. Jesus' body just did not come back alive. Jesus had to have a body change. Because Jesus died a mortal and his flesh was mortal flesh. And if God would have given life only back into the body of Jesus, it would have raised up a mortal body. So Jesus' body was not only brought to life, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus' body was transformed. It was not just like Lazarus was. Lazarus was raised from the dead. He received the call of the Lord Jesus, and Lazarus had to die again. One of the very few men in history that ever died twice. But he had to die again because it was not a call into eternal life. If the Spirit of God raises up the body of the Lord Jesus and Jesus stands up and he's standing there as a mortal again. But the Spirit of God gave him life and he also transformed his body. Don't worry, friends. He knows how to change bodies. He changed his own. He changed his own body. He knows how to change yours. He did not just raise from the dead, but his body was changed from mortal to immortality. Boom, just like that. But it looked so much like himself when the disciples had first seen him. They looked at him and thought he was a ghost. But he was in this body that he could eat in. And he said, you got anything to eat? You imagine the Lord Jesus in a glorified body. I mean, he had a strange combination to me, but I mean, if he liked it, fine. Broil fish and a piece of honeycomb? Man alive. That wouldn't be my choice for lunch. Maybe he made do with all that he had conveniently there. But you imagine as they begin to look, they saw there was something about him. He looked by himself, but he wasn't himself. Because they could be standing there talking, and all of a sudden, he could walk, not through the door, walk right through that solid wall. Just pass right through it. The true version of the Twilight Zone. Glory. Oh my, y'all just had flashbacks, don't you? What is it? It's a body that can eat. A body that can reign. A body that can touch. This is now God's first permanent dwelling place. This is the first of my Father's house. Your brothers don't have this, but you can pull them up if you wish. I didn't know he was going to do me this way this morning. It's quite all right, sir. No complaints. St. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe ye also in me. In my Father's house, kingdom, dominion. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places. Not like Beverly Hills and Atlanta, but tabernacles. Now you imagine the second Adam has now embraced. He's embraced his position. He's fixing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and take the thorns and sweat to show the curse has been met. In what? The body of the Son of God. A pest house of mortality will swallow the thorns and embrace death. He did it in such a way, I mean, he hornswoggled that devil. The devil didn't have no idea what in the world was going on. He stood up there as Arnold Von Winkelord years and years ago and said, this day I give my life for Sweden. And he stood right there and run right in the midst of all them spears and pulled them spears and swords right into his own bosom. And the Lord Jesus, oh my, imagine as hell began to say, what in the world's the matter with this man? He can't be nothing no more than just an ordinary man. And God had to coax the bee of death. God had to coax the bee of death in order to lose his stinger. And he keeps going around and around and around the Lord Jesus and getting closer and closer. And he smells like an ordinary human. His blood looks like an ordinary human. And the sweat coming out of his face looks like an ordinary human. And Satan gives the command to death. Death, I want you to sink your stinger down into him. That's mortal flesh. It bled like a mortal. He's fixing to die like a mortal. I want you to kill him. All right, Satan, here I go. Oh my, it gets closer and closer and closer, and he his eyes stay open, his mouth. Satan lets hell know. We've won. And the BFDS says, Satan, mission accomplished. Coming back down to hell for further orders. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Satan, we've made a bad mistake. Sweat. And before he leaves, he's telling his disciples. Now remember, St. John 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. This is on the way from the upper room where they're eating the Passover to the Garden of Gethsemane. The oil press or the olive press That's what Gethsemane means. This is on their way. And Jesus conveys to them, in my Father's kingdom are many tabernacles. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I'm one of the ways. Buddha and all the rest of these people, they're away. And Muhammad, he's away. And that's contrary to the Word of God. Amen. There is only one way. Amen. There is only one way. And that is the way, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh my. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother Branham picks this up in paragraph 62 of Things That Ought to Be. Oh, he says, sin brought us into the pest house. Previous quote. This one he says, but brother, the other one is called my Father's house. I'll go and prepare a place for you and take you out of this pest house and deliver you into my Father's house. Amen. There you are. Take you out of this old earthly pest house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place, where no evil exists, no sickness exists, no old age exists, no death exists. It's a perfect place calling you. Don't you understand why you feel so lonely at times and so homesick? I love going out and preaching and visiting other brothers and all that. Me and Carol went down to Texas and a wonderful camp we had, and we chose to drive. We come through different states and, you know, we crossed and saw the Louisiana state sign and saw the Texas state sign and different state signs, Mississippi, Alabama. But when we come up out of Georgia and started in on the south side of Chattanooga, and here's this great big sign, Tennessee welcomes you. We both looked at one another, thumbs up, we're back in the home state. Now, if you're from Georgia and you see that in Georgia, that's perfectly fine with me. Georgia's on your mind, that's fine, but it ain't on mine. That's quite all right. That's where you're from. But each of us, you know what I'm talking about. And when we hear heaven preached, when we hear the Garden of Eden spoke about like we did a while ago, it's a welcome home sign to the real children of God. Why, there's something in you calling you. You've got a body over yonder to send. Come on. Come on home. Come on home. It's a perfect place calling you. Calling. To that perfection. And you have to be perfect to get there. The Bible says so. Jesus said, be therefore perfect. Even your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven is perfect. It's a perfect kingdom. So you must be a perfect people come. Because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God. And you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sin. We are strange people today. If you're truly born again, you are a new creation in the same old pest house. So you are this well person that can never get sick, living in this diseased, sick, run down, wore out body. Praise God. Let me find a place to close. Brother Tim Burdett closed about 13 times, I think, over at the banquet the other night, so I'll try to. Young people was really pulling on him, and I certainly appreciated it too. Listen to this. The blood of Jesus Christ, think of it. The dripping, bloody Word. The blood. The Word of God bleeding blood to wash the bride in. Amen. Yes, sir, she stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. That's the younger brother. Never sinned in the first place. But the outside still bears the image of the curse. So thorns and thistles and brambles and briars and envy and strife and, you know, jealousy and whatever more. It grows, oh my, it grows vehemently in our flesh. Amen. Right? And to grow in God, you may have to push and push and push and push and hoe and water and fertilize and everything to grow one inch in God. Yet to grow bitterness and envy and strife and jealousy, it can seem like it can grow overnight. As the earth is so fertile for the thorns and the brambles, so is our flesh so fertile for the works of the flesh. You can walk right out of here and get mad and a hornet at somebody out there because they say something or look funny at you. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. Why? Because it's like we've got bumper crops, especially in the age we're living. People are carrying their shoulders. I mean, people used to carry their feelings on their shoulders. Now they got them on their nose. They got them on their head. They got them on their knee. They got them on their big toe. They got them everywhere. We are really germatized in this day, seem like, to get our feelings hurt. Well, I could have preached all day and all said that, couldn't I? But some of y'all needed it, so I figured I better say it. Notice it's Jesus conveying now. Here's the second Adam. Going to the Garden of Gethsemane. God told the first Adam, as he's fixing to leave, thorns and thistles will be in this ground. Now the second Adam is fixing to embrace thorns. Where? In the dust of the pest house. The first Adam was told, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat your bread. The second Adam is now walking, almost this time, walking past the trees. Those of you who have been there, many of those trees, let's say, some of the original trees that was there when he was here on the earth. Coming down the valley of Kidron, right on the eastern side as it was coming down through Jerusalem. And it comes right over through the place you imagine as they're on their way and they enter in and this cool evening. Oh my, and the wind barely blowing. And they're coming up through there and Jesus conveying these great mysteries. They didn't realize it was the second Adam. They saw him now in the splendor of the revelation of the word. But in just a little while, they're going to look across to there and they're going to see him bowed down upon a rock, crying and praying. And they're going to see something so peculiar as they see the capillaries of his bloodstream break open and sweat enters into his sweat glands. And he drops great drops of blood. He's sweating for his bread wife. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many bodies. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there you may be with me forever. Can you imagine? In 1965, when the church age book was finished, the gates had already been hung. For 2,000 years, he's been there working on it. Why do we need a new city? Because the devil has been allowed to approach the throne of God. Nothing in this new earth will have one footstep of the enemy in it. You and heavens and earth will pass away. But in this new city that he has created, not one demon has ever set a footprint in it. While he's building a mystical body on the earth, he's been creating all this gold. Brother Ben said, where did he get all that gold? He said, he is creator. You sisters that love pearls, hang with us. You're fixing to see pearls like you ain't never seen. Every several gate was a pearl. Glory to God. The city 1,500 miles high. And on the top of it, the throne. Jesus on top of Mount Zion. On top of the church. And guess what we're going to do? Work. Glory. Some of y'all ain't sure you want to go, huh? What is it? A continuing of this life without trouble, without sweat. We'll be as Adam was, just dressing the garden. I'm sure Adam was perfectly satisfied with the trees and all the way they were until Eve come along. Then all of a sudden, he's moving this one, moving that one, setting this out over here. Sons of Adam are still moving trees in the form of dressers and couches and tables and all that sort of. Oh my. Lord Jesus. Can I read two more quotes to you? Notice this in Christ the mystery. Notice redeeming back was him going home. Back to eternal life in a human body. Can't you see why you can't be satisfied with eternal life in a gene seed? Home is not eternal life in a gene seed. Home is eternal life in a human body. Back to eternal life in a human body, eating, drinking, living forever. Isaiah said they will build houses and inhabit them, plant vineyards and eat the fruit. They'll not build and another take it. The children won't take it, but they'll be there with their offspring. And they'll build and stay there. Amen. He don't build and another eat. He builds and eats himself. Amen. What is it? It's bride going back with him. Being redeemed back to the original Adam and Eve again. For death is left behind. They look back at the cross and see the death has been paid. Now let's read this and things that ought to be more close. But he was telling them that after death there is a life, because I go prepare a place, and that is to receive them. It shows it there. He was speaking to them that there was a life after this life is ended. But what a consolation that ought to give us all to know that after this life is over, there is a life that we go into. As you get older, that becomes more of a reality to you. You begin to see the days of your life drawing close. It begins and you begin to pack up closer, getting ready for that great event. It's a continuing of this same life in another world. Those of you who received your eternal mate in time will be with that same individual through eternity. Some of y'all didn't say glory. Was you open for a change? Not exciting to me. I mean, I love my wife. We tell each other all the time. She goes, I can't wait to spend eternity with you. And I tell her the same thing. Apparently, y'all looking for a change. I see the change means more to you than your body, huh? She might feel the same way about you, pot belly. Let's stand together. Brother Bram says, I believe, paragraph 42, Brother Daniel, we'll skip down about halfway into it. I believe that heaven is a real place, just the same as this is a real place. God started us and our spiritual growth in this place. God started you in your spiritual growth here, and you get to come back here and live forever. Glory. Glory to God. And I believe that heaven is a place just as real as this, where we don't sit around for eternity and just sit there on a cloud. The clouds are pretty. I don't like them when I'm flying in them. But they are pretty down here looking up. But I think I'd get bored just floating around on a cloud. I go with Brother Greg on his cloud. Hey, Brother Greg, how you doing? Notice this. We don't strum our harp. We're going to a real place where we're going to do things. Where we're going to live. We're going to work. We're going to enjoy. We're going to live. We're going to life. To a real eternal life. We're going to a heaven, a paradise, just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and ate and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in, and we're on our road right back there again. Right back. The first Adam through sin taking us out, the second Adam through righteousness bring us back again and justifies us and brings us back in. If you can just imagine it. From the top of the city sets the throne. The river of the water of life will come out from under the throne. In this pyramidal shape, it will diversify itself and branch into all these branches in all four directions. Because there'll be people living on all four sides of the pyramid. And it'll come down, and whoever's privileged to live up in the top, it'll come into their yard. In there will be parks and avenues and streets. And every yard will have the tree of life blooming in it. Lord Jesus. Do we have to leave this old world, oh God, this holy place this morning? Can't we just leave from here? Do we have to go back out into this world? From the top of it comes the river of life. And it's trickling. You know, not a torrent, but a trickle. Moving soft water. It comes down into your backyard. Comes out past your place. Goes out through your front yard. Then it enters into the backyard of someone else. To their front yard. To their backyard. To the front yard. You see the process. So it's coming on down. All the way down. And this city setting there. 1,500 miles high. And on the top of it is the King of the universe. And all up and down the walls live the saints. I believe with all of my heart I'm looking at some people one day that will live right there in that city. Glory to God. Glory to God. There'll be no fussing in the home. The older brother having a problem with the younger brother. But you will have entered into your complete perfection. You, the seed gene of God, stepped into a theophany. You, the seed gene and the theophany, steps into a human glorified body. And there you will eat and drink and we'll work. We'll go out and just play with your flowers as it was. And just kind of dress it. It's beautiful. Of course, it was beautiful yesterday. These are the oldest flowers I've ever seen. They're 387,975,000 years old. They look as beautiful as they did when he first made them. Nothing dies here. Nothing gets old here. Nothing is sick. If you could capture the happiest moment of your life as a mortal, whenever that was, being born again, of course, should be the first. Then after that, in the realm of mortality, maybe when you were married, maybe when you had your first baby, whatever it was, and you capture that moment, how you felt. And multiply it by trillions of times. And think that's the way you'll feel every day. We'll never look around that city and say, where's Brother Allen? Oh, he's depressed today. He don't feel like coming out. Well, nobody will be depressed. Nobody will ever have a frown. Oh, Lord, children. Let me close. Lord Jesus, forgive me. When I go to talking about her, Lord, she's my home. Your prophet was so gifted to where he could make it so real for us. Thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to this earth and stepped into a pest house yourself. That you might take the thorns and you might produce the sweat. Hallelujah. But human sweat wasn't enough. It had to be sweat infiltrated with redemptive blood to take the curse off the earth. When that blood ran out of your forehead and fell down upon the earth and the demons were laughing, no doubt, and making fun, they didn't know the blood was claiming the earth. Hallelujah. Before you ever got to the cross, the drops of claiming landed on the earth.
Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us missing there. If there's anyone here today without the Holy Ghost, may this be their day, Father. If there's any here that don't know you, if there's any, Lord, that the flesh is dominating their lives, help them, Lord. They might be like that plant that I read last night, Lord, that multiplies and multiplies and multiplies itself. Help us to see that our flesh has that capability of multiplying carnality and the things of the flesh, the works of the flesh, as Paul calls it in Galatians. But thank God for the true soul that's baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body. We're not eating herbs of the Spirit, but fruits of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have already transcended time. Praise God, sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Eating of the fruits. The prophet tells us in 1962 that the tree of life is blooming in them. In them. Glory to God. The tree of life is already blooming in the bride. And it's producing its fruits, which are the fruits of the Spirit. And yet, in a few moments, we'll close and we'll walk out of here. And who knows what awaits any of us this afternoon. Maybe an automobile at wreck. Maybe sad news from home. We don't know. But we know, Lord Jesus, one day it'll all end. We long for that time. Be mindful of our loved ones, Lord. Maybe there's some here today who have a husband or a wife, a son or daughter that's not in. May you have mercy, Lord Jesus. Help us, I pray, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, I want to go home. I want to go home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love Him with all your hearts, children. You want to go home. You want to go home. I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. Let's sing it now just before we go. I've always been a stranger. Let's raise our hands and sing it together, can we? Let's just worship Him now. Oh, I'm going home.
Sing it now, children. I'm going soon. Our heads together and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, it's been a good day. You haven't come down and walked with us in the paradise in the sense as it was in Eden. The trees are beautiful now, but it won't be but a few months they'll be turning their colors. Frost will strike our flowers. Death is striking our more mortal realm. But nonetheless, you have come down with us today. We've heard your voice. We've felt the beckoning from another world. We thank you. We thank you that you took time to come and be with us today, Lord. Would you go now, Lord, as we dismiss, though we would depart from one another's presence, may we never depart from yours. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd watch over your people around the world, your elect. We pray not only for the ecclesia, the elect of God, but for the foolish virgins, for the 144,000, for all of those that must be saved before blood is removed from the mercy seat. Bring them in, Lord, so we can go home. Grant it, Lord Jesus. For me personally, streets of gold don't excite me. I can't imagine jasper and all those beautiful stones and gates of pearl. To me, if heaven was no more than a cabin in East Tennessee in the mountains, if you were here, it would be heaven to me. I've never been a city boy, and I don't know too much about wealth and riches as far as that sort of thing goes. I've known you better than I've known gold. I've known you better than I've known gems and riches. Lord Jesus, it's you I long to see. It's you I want to be with. Keep us till that time, Lord. We so love you today. You love him, children, with all your heart. Oh, ain't he wonderful? Brother Bam said it in a peculiar way. He said, don't it just make you want to just pull it out and just hug it? That's a strange way to say it, but you think, just pull it out and hug it up close to you. One day we will. One day we'll walk down those places together. God bless you. Let's sing it together as we go. For visitors that were in our gates today, may God bless you and be with you as you travel back home. For those that came to the youth banquet, we trust you received something from it. I want to say also to those who were in the preparation, all the sisters that did the work and served, thank you for doing that. Totally impossible to have something like that without all those that were there. Thank you for all the work that went on behind the scenes. Amen. I just can't hardly wait till that great big old banquet's going to be set. No matter what kind of thing we have, you know, somebody's always in the kitchen doing this and doing that. All you sisters that make it up there, you'll be sitting at the table too. You won't be having on aprons waiting on all the rest of us. But we'll be sitting there together as we take our hands and the king comes out. Takes his robe and wipes the tears from our eyes. It'll be worth it, won't it? God bless you. Let's sing it together, Brother LaHarris. We're going. I'm going home. I'm going home. Soon.